Donald, Pastor Mark, for your ministry to us today. You know, this book is a love story.
Right. Amen.
Not a list of do's and don'ts. It's a love story. It starts off with our triune God, all by Himself. In the beginning, God. From that phrase, your entire outlook on life is developed. How you view how the universe came to be develops the rest of your thinking. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. At some point, the Bible does not say, and Brother Jeff, many theologians have debated the point. At some point, God created angels. And there was specific angels, two in particular, that their job was to hover over the throne of God. One of those angels, we learn from Exodus chapter 25 and Ezekiel chapter 28 and Isaiah chapter 14, was named Lucifer. God had made him beautiful. He was stunning in his beauty. And he was lifted up by pride. He said, "I am going to be God." And nothing that is created will ever be the Creator. Amen. And God cast him down and he fell. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3 and 4, that he drew one third of the stars, one third of heaven's angels went with him. He was cast out into the earth. And the next time we find him is in Genesis chapter 3 in the form of a serpent. And the Bible says this, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said that ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He came and we know the story of how he tempted Eve, and Eve fell and gave unto Adam, and her husband did eat. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, "Wherefore as by sin, by one man sin entered into the world, and so death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You say, "Pastor, you said that the Bible's a love story." It is. A God that loved you and I so much that He gave us a free choice. But then it didn't end there. Man fell and death came into the world. And God later would send His own Son to banish death forever, when He overcame death, hell, and the grave through His death on the cross and His glorious, victorious resurrection. But can I say, in the interim time, Satan, who Lucifer became, the devil, the old dragon, the serpent, many, many metaphoric titles for Satan, has been busy and continues to be busy. We live in a day, ladies and gentlemen, when truth, in the very foundations which undergird our society, are under constant attack. And this attack is accomplished, for the most part, by Satan's tenured professors of theology. We know this according to our text. Verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times," if we're not in the latter times, I don't know what the latter times are, "that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." That word apostiosos, we know it, apostasy, apostate, apostasism. "Some shall depart from the faith." Why? "Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Those are Satan's tenured professors of theology. When we see such Those of us that know God, know His Spirit, I'm not saying we're perfect, but we can recognize wrong. One of the great privileges of knowing the Spirit of God is to be able to recognize right from wrong. He said in 1 John to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. We see this attack on our foundations, attack on our society in visual news, network and internet. We see it in the printed page. We see it in entertainment. We see it in commercials. We see it in public education. And all those things, they influence thoughts and attitudes. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, attitudes affect actions. If you teach your young people one thing, I hope you teach them that. Attitudes affect actions. I came home the other day. My son Luke, he's our sullen child. Anybody have a sullen? Do you know what a sullen child is? Just kind of a little bit of a moper sometimes. Amen. I came home and came to my desk, my little 6x6 area in our house that is the only part of the house that's mine. Yeah. Amen. And I was there and I was just doing something and Luke kind of snuggled up next to me. He just had that look. I said, "Hey, buddy. So what's going on?" He said, "Bad day, Dad." Yeah, listen, all you pitiful people. You're about to hear how bad his day was, okay? Oh. And I said, "Oh, really, buddy? It's too bad. Tell me about it." He said, "Well, Eric wouldn't let me play video games. And then Katia took this Lego away from me." And then, and he went on, and I'm sitting there like, "This is a bad day? This is a bad day?" So we listen. We try to be compassionate. I said, "Try." Amen. We try to be compassionate. And I'm a big believer that there are lots of teaching moments in life. One of the best places to teach your children is at the dinner table. When families used to gather and talk and pray. And so we had prayer in our house. I hate to tell you this, but we have female-led prayer. It's Katia. And she always prays the same thing, Brother Lowell. She says, "Bless Pastor Donald and Miss Marissa. Amen." Hello? How about your own father? How about the music pastor? Amen. How about the church? Amen. She just blessed Pastor Donald and Miss Marissa. How about Donald and Seth and Charlie and Brady? No. Just bless. Then we pray and we say, and I pray and I say, "Lord, thank you for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for our home that our church provides for us. Thank you." And let me just let you in. "Thank you, God, for the church letting Daddy be their pastor." So that's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. Permitted. Doesn't change my preaching, but hey, amen. And I said, "And thank you for this food that our church provides for us. And thank you that we're so blessed in our lives that we don't have to fear where we'll live, where what we'll eat, whether we'll have clothing." You say, what are you trying to get across there? I wanted my son, we got done with prayer. It was a purpose prayer. But I wanted my son to realize that the reason he was having a bad day was because attitude affects action. Was he having a bad day? Nah, not so much. No. By any normal standard, no. I said, "Luke, did you eat today?" "Oh yeah." "Did you have as much food as you wanted?" "Oh yeah." Not that bad of a day. Attitude affects action. Here we find that those that depart from the faith, it starts with attitude. I think about how attitudes affect action, and I think about this seducing spirits and doctrines of devils in so many isms. We would call isms. We think of relativism. What is relativism, Pastor? Relativism is there are no moral absolutes, which is absolutely false. There are moral absolutes. There is right and there's wrong. You know, relativism. God, listen, I'm so thankful I didn't have a relativistic math teacher. 2 and 2 is 4. No, it's not. It's 5. No, it really is 4. 1, 2, 1, 2. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, I say it's 5 because there are no mathematical absolutes. See, we laugh, folks, but this kind of garbage is going on in our society. It's relativism. And that's where it springs from. No moral absolutes. Why do you think for 120 years they've been belittling this book? Because it deals with moral absolutes. Relativism. Here's another ism that we see so much in our country. Secularism. One of the fellows that spoke at the meeting. And by the way, he had the right to say this. And I'm for his right to say this. He said America is a secular country. Now, he is factually incorrect. He's factually incorrect. We are not a secular democracy. We're a religious republic. Say, how do you know, Pastor? Because when the Supreme Court starts to hear oral arguments, the hailer, the caller, says, "Oye, oye, oye! God save the United States of America and this honorable court." We have chaplains in our military. Amen. Paid chaplains for the Senate. That doesn't sound that secular to me. In God we trust. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secularism in our country. Trying to remove all the public references to God. Boy, that's a task, but they're working at it. They're working at it. I think of humanism. Humanism. What is humanism? You know, the amazing thing about humanism is exactly what it says in Romans 1. Is humanism, it humanizes God and deifies man. That's what humanism does. Man becomes a god unto himself. And listen, isn't that what the old serpent said to Eve in Genesis chapter 3? Ye shall be as humanism. Forgive me, ladies. Feminism. Feminism. If you're a woman, I'm in your corner. My mom's a woman. My wife's a woman. My daughter's going to be a woman. Hallelujah. I'm half woman because I was born of man and woman. Amen. If you want to get in touch with my feminine side, her name's Carrie. Just talk to her. Amen. She'll be glad to talk to you. But this is not feminism. Feminism is blurring the difference between men and women. And I'm telling you, there ought to be a difference. God, listen, ladies, you are so special. You are so special that man was incomplete without you. And so God created you out of man. Not from the head to rule over man, and not from the foot where man to rule over you, but right from the middle to complete him. That's not modern feminism. Atheism. Anger. Listen, if I could sum up atheism, they're angry at those that believe in God. I have met atheists that were just the nicest people, and they didn't want to be bothered, and they didn't bother you, and you didn't bother them. And I thought, that's America right there. Believe what you want. But it's amazing how many atheists spend all their time proving that God doesn't exist. It's amazing how much time can be spent on someone that you claim isn't there. Socialism. It's another ism. And that is this. The state is responsible to provide. That's socialism. You take money out of my pocket for something that you want. That's socialism, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, I am for some of you are old enough. But I praise God for our generations here. I was just saying that to Scotty. We were sitting there. I said, look up in that choir. We saw Aiden up there, and I saw Drake up there, and I saw Brother Horsch up there, and Miss Judy up there. Some of you are old enough to remember before there was welfare, there was community chests. You remember the community chests. And you know what? When somebody in your community was in dire straits or suffering, you helped them. But you had a whole lot more money to help them. Before Uncle Fika and Uncle This and Uncle Sam and all the other uncles came and started emptying your pockets. Amen. Socialism is this. It's the state's responsibility. It's an ism. Attitudes affect actions. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we came within a hair's breadth of a socialist, Mr. Bernie Sanders, being up for the Democratic nomination for President of the United States, an avowed socialist. If you just follow your isms, you know what comes after socialism? Communism, which leads to totalitarianism. I know it's a civics lesson this morning on the isms, but it's so true that these attitudes, where do these attitudes come from? I tell you where they don't come from. Amen. They come from seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I said the finalism is Satanism, and when we think of Satanism, we think of black robes and hoods and all that. There are some fringe people, but that's about this many that honestly worship him. But I tell you, a lot of people follow his tenets, which is in Genesis 3, cast doubt upon the word of God. In Isaiah 14, he was filled with pride. Here in chapter 4, verse 1, we see seducing spirits. 2 Corinthians 11, 15 talks about transforming angels into angels of light. In our context, we see in verse 15 of chapter 3, a great exhortation. It says there, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. I talked about how attitudes affect actions and they become behavior. Hey, listen, we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. I've seen some crazy things in church. I've seen people. Listen, every church is different. Different sections are different. I've seen people run around, Brother Apple, in the middle of service. I've seen it. I literally saw a Bible college professor just start running around in the middle of service. I thought, what is the deal? What's that guy's problem? How many of you seen on the internet the guy who jumped in the baptistry? About the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Guy just literally ran up onto the platform and jumped in the baptistry. I thought, Brother Horsch, what is going on? Do folks know how to behave themselves in the house of God? Now listen, if the Spirit gets on you, glory to God. Say amen. Say hallelujah. You know, amen. I've seen Brother Case come down the aisle. Amen. You've seen Brother Case. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Amen. But we ought to behave ourselves. Amen. The Bible says this, let all things be done decently in an order. Decently in an order. So there's a great exhortation. And then, oh my goodness, verse 16. I'd love to preach. I just can't. I don't have time to preach on it. The great declaration. That verse in verse 16, it is a bulwark verse, ladies and gentlemen. It says there that God was manifest in the flesh. That can be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. None other. That's who that God was manifest in the flesh. He wasn't just the Son of God, though he was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. Great, great declaration. But then in verse 1, we see the great seduction. What does it say there? That some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. I have got to hurry. Satan sends out his seducing spirits with their doctrines of devil to affect people's thoughts, hinder the work of God, and keep people in hell for all eternity. Those are his goals. Let me give you, if I could, 3 points and a bunch of sub-points today. Number 1, the doctrines of devils in society. The doctrines of devils in society. Society is the world by large, and society at large is not saved. They do not have the Holy Spirit of God. They do not know truth from error. And so what is sold to them, by the way, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned." The day you get saved, the author of the Bible moves in. And he moves in to stay. And he helps us to understand truth from error. Here's some doctrines of devils inside. I got seven of them real quick. Drink responsibly. Right? Anybody heard that? You'll hear it today if later on you probably plan on watching a certain football game. I'm sure you'll, if you don't hear it, you'll see it, Brother Horst. It'll be on TV. Drink responsibly. Can I say this? Listen, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." That's a doctrine of devils. How about this one? And I don't have time to preach on these like I'd really like to. But this one, love is love. Love is love. No, it's not. God said marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Jesus Christ himself said, when they came to him and said, "Can you put away your wife for every cause?" He said, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife." We were, Brother Boyd and I were at the meeting, the last city council meeting, and a woman in front of us began to sing, "We Shall Overcome," and then she began to sing, "All You Need Is Love." And I leaned over to Brother Boyd and said, "All you need is pitch and key, because that's awful. You're not singing very well right there. I can tell you that right now." Hey, listen, you know what that is? Love is love. It's a doctrine of devils. But it's well, listen, it's well played. Because what's the opposite of love? Hate. Let me give you another one. Well, we've seen this one in the last 44 years. My body, my choice. That's funny because there's a completely dependent another body growing inside you, ma'am. As someone who is an only adopted child, forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, the product of a one-night stand by a little 19-year-old girl who decided she couldn't have an abortion and decided to adopt a little baby out. That's your pastor today. My body, my choice. Well, the Bible says life is precious. I think about, how about this one? How many have said, "I'm not hurting anybody"? Doesn't hurt anybody. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Well, the Bible talks about, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Well, how about this one? Well, it's the law. You know, you got to abide by the law. Like it was a speeding, you know, like a miles per hour that you had to obey. Hey, listen, the Bible says we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, that doesn't give you an excuse to do 55 and a 35, sir, which I saw you doing on the way to church because you were late. But it does, when God's law and man's law contradict one another, give you the right to say, you know, I'm on God's side on this one. It's a doctrine of devils. I said, well, it's the law. I'll give you another one. I can't believe this one is actually, but it is. You know, animals have rights too. I laugh. You know, there's the group called PETA, and a friend of mine had a PETA shirt, and it was a little different acronym. It said "People Eating Tasty Animals." I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Listen. Let me say this. I know we have a couple vegetarians in our midst that, for their own body reasons, say, "Look, I think vegetables are better for you," and I support your right to do that. But you listen to me. Until people start, or until animals start writing laws, and until animals start debating amongst one another. They're animals. That's what they are. They're animals. They don't have rights. They don't have rights. I'm sorry, your little sweet Pomeranian, it has the right to breathe, and if you feed it, it has the right to eat, and that's it. I go round and round about that. How about this one? You know, men and women are the same. Men and women, they're exactly equal. They're not. Listen, I believe in the equality. I would tell a feminist, you come see how I treat my wife and wish somebody treated you that good. And I treat her the way the Bible says. But if men and women are equal, why do we have ladies' tees at the golf course? Hey, let's take the winner of the WNBA championship. That's the Women's Basketball Association. Some great players there. And let's take the NBA champion, which was last year, what, Cleveland? And let's play them against one another and find out how equal they are. As the men win 100-20. Okay? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God creates us with different abilities, gifts, blessing. Male and female are created different for different purposes. Oh, I would love to preach longer. I can't. Let me give you secondly, not only the doctrine of devils in society, let me give you some doctrines of devils about the scriptures. Some doctrines of devils about this book. You know, the devil knows this book. Didn't he try to use it against Jesus Christ in the temptation in Matthew chapter 4? Let me give you just quick ones. You know, we're all children of God. We're all children of God. A little bit of truth in that. We're all children of God by creation because He's the great Creator. But the Bible says in Galatians 3:26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Okay, let me give you another one. You know, the Bible's full of contradictions. You had somebody say that to you. The Bible's full of contradictions. Are there some difficult passages? Absolutely. But the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21, "For the prophecy came not of old by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." If God wrote this book, and it's not full of contradictions, here's another one. A loving God would never send anybody to hell. A loving God provided a way to go to heaven. A person goes to hell on their own. I don't want the cross. Okay. That's how loving God is. He lets you choose. I'm going to give you another one. Judge not. And cross out all the rest of the chapter that's all about making proper judgments. Corrupt fruit, good fruit, corrupt tree, evil tree. Get the beam, get the sliver out of your own eye so you can see clearly and judge properly is what that whole chapter is all about. We don't need that gory story. That was a term in liberal Christianity. We don't need that gory story. There is no salvation outside of the blood of Christ. Is it a gory story? The goriest. Jesus Christ shed every drop of His life's blood for us. Here's another one. Christians don't follow all of the Bible. I mean, after all, you folks eat pork. You eat shellfish. You wear mixed fabrics. How many of you have heard that doctrine of the devils before? Yeah, and last time I checked, I wasn't a Levitical Jew. I was a New Testament Christian. Amen. So bring on the bacon, baby. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. I'm sorry. I know. I'm looking forward to that potluck today. I can tell you that right now. There better be some pork products there. There'll be salads too for those of you that are for that. The doctrine of devils in society. Doctrine of devils about the scriptures. All right, here we go. You ready? How about the doctrines of devils amongst the saints? Now, we like those last ones, amen, especially the part about bacon. We like that, amen. Here's some doctrines of devils that seducing spirits take and wind through these pews. You know, the preacher's always talking about money. I can't tell you the amount of times, Brother Lawley, I've heard that from people through the years. You know, the preacher's always talking about money. You folks listen to me every week. I don't always talk about money. I just don't. At the offering, I usually praise your giving because it's great. That's not all I talk about. By the way, it is important. Amen. This is always a product of this. What you spend this on is what's important to this. Here's another one. You know, the Bible doesn't say anything about how I dress. Oh? So when God said that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel, your Bible doesn't say that? Just figured I'd, you know, go there real quick. Preacher, we're not going to be here tonight because... I'm allergic to potlucks. That's going to be the next one on my list. Amen. Preacher, you know, Aunt Bertha's coming into town. And we haven't seen Aunt Bertha in... And preacher, you know, Johnny has a basketball tournament on Sunday. And, you know, listen, we've only taken 5 weeks vacation this year, so we've got to take another one.
Amen. Come on.
I don't mean to be sarcastic today, but ladies and gentlemen, I've heard them all. Brother Stark, every time I think I've heard them all, somebody comes up with another one. They might as well say to me, you know, Pastor, I'm not coming to church today because the sun rose in the east. So, well, that's as good of an excuse as the other ones I've heard. Hey, listen, God's the one that said we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hey, listen, do we have times where it's different? Sure, today's a great example. We have a potluck today. We have an afternoon service. There are times I thought about last year, Pastor Donald, I think I was away, and he preached Mother's Day evening, and there was about 50 people here. And said, you know what we're going to do this year? We're going to have a meal after Mother's Day for all our moms. The men are going to serve, and we'll have a quick afternoon service. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, it's a doctrine of devils that think we can excuse ourselves from gathering with God's people. I love gathering with God's people. Whether I'm preaching or somebody else is preaching, or we're just going to have singing, I love to gather with God's people. I'll give you another one. Think about this. Doctrines of devils amongst the saints. They don't even have to be spoken, but they're taught through our lives and our living and our choices. Let me tell you what doctrines of devil always do. They always do this. Doctrines of devils always make it easier to sin. They always relieve us from spiritual responsibility. Okay? They produce apathy. We don't care. They confuse our peculiarity. We're supposed to be different in our deportment and in our dress, how we look. Now, listen, please don't misunderstand me. If you don't have a nice dress to wear, ma'am, you are welcome here. You are welcome here. But if you say, well, I don't have all these extra things, and we are not about finery, not at all. Wear the best you have and make sure it's ironed. Anybody can do that. Amen. Say, all I got's a denim skirt. Glory to God, ma'am. You're welcome here. You're welcome here. But there is supposed to be a peculiarity between men and women. How we look. Who we are. Doctrines of devils always blur that. Doctrines of devils always keep us from commitment. Always. Always. They keep us from committing, coming to the altar, things like that. You know, the doctrines of devils compromise our testimony when we give in to doctrines of devils. I think when I think of somebody like that who gave in to doctrines of devils, I think of Lot. The character of Lot. And to the point where Lot, who was a Christian, but he was a ruined Christian, we'd say in the Old Testament, obviously, he was just and righteous. 2 Peter chapter 2 tells us. But he was somebody that when the when it got hot, Brother Horsch, and he said, look, God said he's going to destroy this place. He went to his sons-in-laws. He said, look, you get my daughters, get my grandbabies, and let's get out of here. God's going to destroy this place. He went, you know God? Yeah, right. Why? What had happened? Well, that seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, he'd compromised his testimony. God help us, parents, that we don't compromise our testimony in front of our kids by what we allow in our homes and what we listen to and what we watch. It always does that. And it weakens biblical authority. So, Pastor, what can we do? What can we do against doctrines of devils? Well, I'll tell you, the key is this. Read, study, meditate upon this book. Say, why are you the way you are, Pastor? Well, that's too long a sermon, amen. And it's more of a psychology study than anything else. But I'll tell you the why I'm upset about this thing Tuesday, about telling me what to think. Because all of my thought is filtered through that book. And again, it's protected. It's protected by our Constitution, not only Michigan and the federal Constitution. But if it wasn't, I would still think that way. See, the reason why it's easy for a veteran Christian to recognize errors, they filter their thoughts through the Bible. Think on these things, Paul tells us. Whatsoever things are true, just, good, righteous, all that. Think on these things. It talks about in Proverbs, I believe, chapter 4, verse 23, that we're to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then, ladies and gentlemen, not just having that Bible be our filter, but having that Bible be our guide for how we live our lives. You know, you don't have to be ugly with people you disagree with. How I am in the pulpit, many of you know this, is not how I am person to person. Talking about somebody struggling with something that I know is wrong. Somebody struggling with something. Boy, I know that's tough. I know you're battling with. Let's have a word of prayer. Let me tell you what the Bible says about it. How you can help. How you can overcome it. Amen. It's not only filtering our lives through that book. It's walking in accordance with that book. See, I'm telling you this. This is the missing piece in our day. We know what the Bible says. But we don't do what the Bible says. When we do what the Bible says, we get even more strength. And more, because God's blessing comes with obedience. Amen. Doctrines of devils. Listen, there are doctrines of devils in society. There are doctrines of devils concerning the Scriptures. And there are doctrines of devils even amongst the saints. You know what? We need to be on guard for them. Even in our own lives, we start getting a bad attitude towards someone. You know what? That attitude's going to become action if you don't deal with it. Well, let's deal with it. Father,